This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dave Norris is the mayor of the city of Charlottesville, joins us live in studio. How are you?
Coy, I'm great. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Well, thank you for being here. Did you know that TV show?
I had no clue.
You didn't recognize it?
No, none.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hopefully somebody will get it. You would think the 15th Pelican, hello. You think that would give it away, but I don't know. How are you beating the heat?
Just trying to stay cool, do a little swimming. Stay indoors.
Yeah, that's smart.
It's hot out there.
You know, and it's like, it's hotter than hot.
Yeah.
Because I lived in Florida. I know heat. I know humidity.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to be like 90 degrees at 7 in the morning. But this is something different.
It is.
It's just
wrong. It's just a whole new level of wrong.
Yeah, a whole new level of wrong. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Heard it here first. Speaking of heat, maybe we should start with water. I guess. That's what's been making all the headlines.
Right.
Get us up to speed. What's going on?
Well, we've had a pretty intense debate here the last couple months about how to plan for the next 30 to 50 years and make sure we have an adequate water supply. You know, communities all over the country are looking at this sort of threat of drought, ongoing drought for years to come, and how do we make sure that we have enough water to meet our needs? And so been a whole lot of debate. We thought we had come to a conclusion on a plan a couple years ago, but some questions were raised recently about that plan, and we've agreed to move forward with the basic elements of that plan, but revisit a couple pieces, one of which has to do with how do we be more aggressive in promoting water conservation, and secondly is let's take another look at ways to preserve the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir, which may include dredging as an option for preserving that. And if we are able to save water through more aggressive conservation measures, and if we do end up dredging the reservoir, we are going to free up some water supply. And let's factor that into the equation, and let's see if we can't save a few million dollars and a few thousand trees by not building as high a dam out at Ragged Mountain. So that's sort of where we are right now. And just trying to explore those alternatives.
Dave, what's your reaction to, as of last week, we now have three former city councilors, Kevin Lynch, Kendra Hamilton, and WINA's Rob Schilling, who has a show in the afternoons. As of last week, all three now say, three people who voted for the plan, all three now say that they're not fans of the plan they voted for, and they feel like they weren't given all the facts about dredging when they had to make a decision in the past. They all three of them now say, hey, we got new facts on the table now, and the way Rob puts it, I don't think the ratepayer is being served by this plan that's on the table.
Well, the plan was very thoroughly vetted. The one piece of the plan that I think a lot of us agree was not vetted thoroughly enough was this estimates on the cost of dredging the reservoir. Now, having said that, the critics of the plan are working from a different set of assumptions than the people who developed the plan. And so there's sort of an apple to oranges comparison here, because one of the founding principles or one of the founding goals of the planning process, the original planning process, was how do we restore natural stream flows to the Mormons River? If you take that piece out of the equation, so in order to accomplish that goal, that's how they came up with the plan that we have today, which includes this pipeline to Ragged Mountain, which includes, a whole variety. There's a whole set of pieces to this plan. If you take that goal out of the equation and say we're not going to restore natural stream flows in the Mormons River, then it opens up a whole other set of possibilities in which dredging makes a whole lot more sense. But if you're going to build this new pipeline to the Ragged Mountain in order to help restore natural stream flows to the Mormons River, dredging doesn't make economic sense,
right?
As a water supply option.
That's an interesting point, though, because we haven't heard that enough. That when they were trying to create a plan earlier, part of the requirements of the plan was, okay, in this plan you do, we have to save the Mormons as well,
right, exactly.
Because for years and years and years, all we've heard is we killed the Mormons.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You drive out to Sugar Hollow and you go back and forth over it, and you can see, we killed it. You know,
yeah, and you know, and the critics have said, you know, is that worth millions of dollars to save the Mormons River? And I think the environmental advocates have said, you know, we've got to move forward with a plan that's going to balance the needs of nature with the needs of man, and that's why this plan makes sense. And so, now, I happen to think that there was a sort of an important oversight, which is, even the architects of the plan said at some point we would revisit the idea of maintenance dredging of the Rivanna Reservoir. We were not going to consider it as a water supply option, however. And as Dennis Rooker has pointed out, and I fully concur, it's illogical to then ignore the fact that if you are going to do maintenance dredging of the reservoir, you are going to produce some water supply gains, and why not factor that into the equation? And so that's where I think there's still some questions to be asked and answered, and an opportunity to really save a whole lot of money and save, you know, thousands of trees and minimize the impact on the Ragged Mountain Reservoir. And so I applaud those who've been asking the hard questions. It's a little frustrating because some of the questions should have been asked earlier on.
Right.
but you know, that's the nature of the public policy process, and we're here today with a better path forward as a result.
So. Yeah. We're talking with Dave Norris, the mayor of the city of Charlottesville, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you've got a comment or a question from Dave, I know he'd love to hear from you. Take the opportunity. It's a free local call, 977-1070. It is encouraging, though, as much as personally I don't like conflict, so I don't like to see all the two sides going at it, but right. But it is encouraging to see people really getting engaged over what is really, if you've looked at it any length of time, a very complicated issue with a lot of moving parts.
It's an extremely complicated issue. I'm not sure I'm 100% about all the details of it, but there are some really good people that have been working on this for years, and people that I trust, and on either side, or on all sides, actually. And so it's been a very interesting process, and I agree that it's good to see people getting engaged on issues like this and sinking their teeth into it and trying to figure out a better way forward. So.
Yeah, and I applaud anybody who's involved, and you among them, who has as their motivation, how can we do this in a way where it's not going to cost people so much money?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
let's, right. Whether it's coming from the right or the left, I don't care. Let's figure out a way as a community, when we do spend our money together, that we can do it responsibly and not necessarily buy more than we need, that we might
sure.
not need.
Well, and that's why conservation makes the most sense of any strategy, because conservation is the cheapest alternative and the least resource-intensive alternative. And if we can be smarter about conservation, we set a very low bar in the original plan, set a very low bar for conservation. And again, the critics came forward and said, you know, we've got to challenge ourselves. We've got to raise the bar here. That's from a cost-effectiveness standpoint, just not using as much water.
Right,
saving
right.
water and harvesting water is our best answer. That alone is not going to solve the problem. Dredging alone is not going to solve the problem. But they have to be.
But they should be part of the factored in to,
exactly.
to the plan.
Exactly.
And if I'm not mistaken, the water we're using now, we're using less water than we were using before the big drought. Like we sort of got used to the...
Well, it's hard to say because we've been in sort of now this perennial, either we're in drought conditions or we're near drought conditions, and yet the one year in recent years when we were not so much in drought, usage went way back up. So we haven't sort of institutionalized those.
Not
those,
quite yet.
But we're getting there. I think we're trying to be smarter. The city and the university has taken some big steps forward as well. So we're all trying to be smarter. I just think there's more we can be doing in that regard. So.
We're talking with Dave Norris, the mayor of the city of Charlottesville, kind enough to join us on this Monday afternoon, this hot Monday afternoon where the temperature is now in the 90s and should be for at least the next couple of days before it cools down maybe into the 80s by the end of the week. What's the latest on the mall? Talking
the
about
mall.
Spending money.
Yeah, no, that's another very interesting process where, you know, we had a work session, city council had a work session a couple months ago now and looked at the sort of the plans that were under development there, and we came back and said, you know, there's a lot of bells and whistles here, and we're not sure we need all those bells and whistles.
Yeah,
you know,
good for you.
The basic structure of the mall is pretty sound, and it's been a pretty notable success. There are some things that I think can be improved. Obviously, the brickwork has not lasted. It's not, you know, it's been sagging. It's been falling apart. It's been, you know, we've got to replace the bricks. But in terms of adding a whole lot of new features and, you know, there's talk about creating a sister city plaza. There's talk about creating these permanent bollards for the cafes. There's talk about
waterfalls.
Yeah, water cascades, which are very expensive and prone to breakdown. So I think there's a lot of things that we're going to revisit, or I know there's a lot of things we're going to revisit. But the business community downtown sees this as an opportunity to invest in the next 30 to 50 years of the mall. So they do want to see the mall improvement project move forward. And we agree. I mean, we agree that the mall infrastructure needs to be addressed. But we're not sure if it needs as much add-ons as some might think. So.
Yeah. I guess that's the greatest testament to the success of the mall, that here we are 30 years later, trying to figure out how to fix the infrastructure of this mall that we built, which at the time was incredibly controversial.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You had
yeah.
folks from the architecture school at UVA who went before city council and said, no, 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 you'll kill your downtown. Right. Don't do it. I mean, right. people were telling them left and right, don't do it. This right. is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And they held their breath, and they did it, and they voted for it.
And it wasn't clear the first 5-10 years if it was going to work or not. I mean, the mall was not an immediate success, and so it's yeah. really been the last 10-15 years that it's really taken off. And
it certainly has.
Yeah.
It's just exploded, and there's more on the horizon, and you see this all the time when you look at, you know, proposals that come from builders and developers. There's sure. more skyscrapers, what we would call skyscrapers
right, yeah.
coming downtown.
Well, I think this is the best thing going right now in downtown is the interest on the part of the development community to build more residential opportunities downtown.
People want to live down there.
That
yeah.
is what's really going to cement the next 30 to 50 years of the mall, is having more people living downtown. And I'm excited to see it. You know, some of the projects are a little slow in coming because of the economy, but I hope to see, you know, we've got, I don't know, last count, I mean, I forget what it was, 600 or 700 new units of residential housing planned in the pipeline, and that's really going to be a huge boost for the mall. You know, I'm concerned, my perennial concern is, are we just building sort of high-end condos, or are we building workforce housing where the people that work on the mall can actually afford to live on the mall? That's a perennial issue. But I think the mall's, you know, it's in good shape, but we're making some investments for the future. We've got a $40 million new hotel coming in downtown. We've got, you know, some new businesses that are going to be popping up here soon. So we need a grocery store downtown. I mean, it's, you know, there's some other things that we can be doing, but, so I'm pretty excited and pretty optimistic about the future of our downtown, and it really is the heart of the whole community. So.
We're talking with Dave Norris, the mayor of the city of Charlottesville. You bring up the subject of affordable housing, which
sure.
I know is a subject that's very near and dear to your heart. We hear some folks, some critics say that the government creates the problem of affordable housing by having taxes on landowners, and if the government didn't have taxes, then we wouldn't have that problem. Like, the market wouldn't do that. I for one don't buy into that. I think the market wants to charge whatever it can charge for real estate,
yeah,
and it's going to
yeah.
go as high as it can as long as there's somebody to pay for it.
Right.
And part of the success of downtown is that fact that so many people want to live down there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I think it's part of the role of the public sector and the nonprofit sector is to look at areas in the market that aren't being served by the market, you know, areas in the housing market that aren't being served. And right now, you know, the affordable housing, you know, certainly particularly rental housing and sort of first-time home ownership housing isn't being well served by the market. So that's an opportunity for the public sector, the nonprofit sector, and the private sector to join forces and figure out how we can make this a little more livable community for people at all income levels, particularly for the working class here, who's now having to move 30, 40, 50 miles away to find housing they can afford, which, of course, with the price of gas, you know, it's just putting all kinds of pressure on their household budget and on our roads. It's really a critical piece of any community's sort of smart growth strategy is to make sure you have an adequate stock of affordable housing so people can live and work and play and shop and worship and everything in their own community. And that's the goal we're trying to pursue here. So.
Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest tragedies is that you don't have housing. You don't have enough of those starter homes.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
that's what they're
right,
called. You don't
right.
have enough of those starter homes for the school teachers
Absolutely.
And the firemen and the police officer, and they have to go to Fluvanna County.
Exactly.
I mean, something's wrong with a community that can't have those people live
right.
in its community.
Right.
You know?
I mean, the street that I live on in Belmont was starter homes for people working at the X Factory. I mean, these are houses built in the late 20s, early 30s. That's the kind of housing we're not building anymore, is those starter homes. I bought my house from a family that raised, you know, a two-bedroom house. The family raised four boys in this house, you know. You know, people lived differently in those days, a little 1,100-square-foot house. But, but you know, we've really got we've been taking some good steps, but there's a lot more we can be doing in that regard. So.
Yeah. Now, are you pleased with what the city's been doing so far?
Yes and no. I mean, we went on the funding side, you know, because you can pay all kinds of lip service to affordable housing, but really you need more resources at the table that are going to then leverage other resources. And so from the funding side, we've been able to go from our annual affordable housing sort of development budget from the city budget was about $400,000 before I took office, and then in the first year I was in office, it went up to $2.15 million, and last year we were able to set aside about $2.4 million, and that's been very successful in sort of leveraging state money, federal money, private money to do more. We've preserved over 100 units of affordable rental housing that were about to be lost to the market, to be flipped for market rate housing. We've invested in first-time home ownership programs. We're looking at the possibility of investing in some supportive housing for the chronically homeless. We're working with Habitat for Humanity to build some housing.
Is there any way you can do like to where the government can create an environment so a builder will want to come in and build starter homes?
Well, we actually went to Richmond this year to lobby for a bill, and it got a little bit watered down, but a bill that David Toscano and Cree Deeds introduced this year that did pass eventually. And it basically is, the question is, what kind of incentives can you provide for builders, for developers to do the right thing? And frankly, Coy, every developer I've met with in Charlottesville gets it. And it's partly, it's very ironic because one of the developers I met with told me that, he gets it because his own children can't afford to live here anymore, So they're seeing it themselves, And the Chamber of Commerce here for 4 or 5 years in a row has said the lack of affordable housing is the number one public policy priority in this community. So it's not just the sort of social justice people that are saying this is a need. The business community gets it. The employers get it. The developers get it.
You want people starting out and investing and getting a piece of the community because they'll stay.
They'll stay.
Versus getting a starter home in Flavanna and you put down roots in Flavanna and you just want to stay in Flavanna.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a smart strategy for all.
We're talking with Dave Norris, the mayor of the city of Charlottesville, and I guess we got time for one more quick thing. What's this about a trail to Monticello? Is that a new project?
Well, this is still in development. Bill Emery down there in Willow Mills, a good friend of yours and mine, a great local historian, he said, why can't we reestablish this pedestrian connection up to Monticello from downtown through the Woolen Mills, and something that we're exploring now. It's very exciting, still in the very early stages, but we're trying to figure out how to get more people down into the Woolen Mills to appreciate and enjoy the history of that neighborhood. It's a great old neighborhood. And then up to Monticello, we can create a little nature trail that goes up to Monticello from downtown. I think that'd be a wonderful amenity.
It would be cool. So you wouldn't have to necessarily get in your car, drive down 20 and park to get on the trail.
Yeah, you can hop on your bike or walk or run up to Monticello from downtown Charlottesville. It'd be pretty cool. So.
That'd be very cool. Dave Norris is the mayor of the city of Charlottesville. Thank you so much for being here.
Coy, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.